Welcome in to the Monday edition of the Daily Tap. It is a Victory Monday on September 10th. How is everybody doing? Wow, I am taping this no longer than 20 minutes after the Packers' improbable week one victory, 24-23. Aaron Rodgers does it again. The goddamn GOAT. 17-point comeback. The largest comeback in the Aaron Rodgers era. I can't believe it. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about this game. We're going to also mention the Brewers, who have a big series against the Cubs. We're just going to keep this Chicago thing rolling and beating Chicago's ass all week long until Thursday, and then we get ready to do it to Minnesota. I mean, this is just, I'm kind of at a loss for words. I don't believe what I just saw. It was like Aaron Rodgers going back in the game, and you're like, all right, well, at least he's all right. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Chicago scores, you know, gets up 24-0, does Aaron Rodgers even come in? Do they just say, all right, well, we're just going to wait and it's on to Minnesota? Aaron Rodgers, man, he did it on one leg. We'll worry about the knee tomorrow. We'll worry about the knee on Tuesday. We'll have that conversation. It's the 24-hour rule, right? We're able to relish in this. I know a lot of fans on local radio and blogs and whatever are going to be like, well, what about the knee? And Rodgers told Michelle Tafoya, oh, I'm playing. Now, granted, that's obviously on just a complete high of winning, but he almost guaranteed it. He called his shot, and he goes, we're going to do this, right? We're going to make this happen. So Aaron Rodgers, man, I've seen a lot of special things from Aaron Rodgers. But to me, this was more Brett Favre than it was Aaron Rodgers. This is something that I've seen from Brett Favre in the past. Like, Brett Favre has played on injuries that are, you know, out of this world. Whether it is a knee, an ankle, a thumb. I mean, I've seen Favre make some ridiculous comebacks and do some ridiculous things with body parts hanging off of him. Aaron Rodgers, I'm not saying it's like he hasn't done that, but there really hasn't been those moments. I mean, granted, there were the times where he basically led the team to the NFC Championship on one calf. That was equally impressive, and you could say that was Favre-like. But this definitely felt a little bit like Favre. And, you know, it was weird. I was cleaning up the season. I was cleaning up the kitchen at halftime, kind of like a worried mother. Sorry for the gender roles, but I mean, it's true. But I was cleaning it up kind of like, well, fuck, you know, and I was just sort of just rolling it through my head. And I said, well, if he ain't come back, that would be a really special way to start the 100th season. And who the fuck knew that my little thought was right? And it was just, I mean, all of it was amazing. He nearly throws for 300 yards. He's the storyline of week one. I mean, everybody will be out of their mind talking about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I am going to enjoy the spin that the Chicago media has as Khalil Mack ran out of gas. I mean, say what you will, but Khalil Mack was a force in the first half. Peter King called it a tour de force. I thought that was a little excessive by Peter King. Much love for PK, but like, he disappeared in the second half. Like, the Packers adjustments were, obviously it made them, but Khalil Mack clearly sort of got tired, and he wasn't conditioned, and he didn't necessarily have all of the practice reps that he needed for a full game. And so kudos to the Packers for making those adjustments. I think Mike McCarthy, you know, it's amazing how much Mike McCarthy becomes creative when his back's up against the wall. Aaron Rodgers is hurt. He's on one leg. He can't do as much. And so they do all the short passing, and it works to perfection. It is great. There was no pass rush. Rodgers barely got touched. Now, granted, and to be honest, I think you do the exact same thing next week, no matter how hurt Rodgers is. Because guess what? You have a team in Minnesota where, you know, it's going to be the same sort of thing. It's going to be a lot tougher. So we'll obviously talk a lot more about the season outlook. I think there's an interesting sort of, I don't want to say conspiracy theorist, but if you want to play a little like, okay, if you could get Rodgers for one more week, win or lose. Win, obviously, best case scenario. But then you play Washington, who looked really good today. And then you play Buffalo, who looked awful today. And then you play Detroit, who we haven't seen yet. They play the Jets tonight. And even if you're, let's say, 1-3 or you're 2-2 heading into that, or 2-3 and 2-3, or you don't really want to be 1-4, I guess. You'd probably have to beat the Vikings. But if you were to, say, put DeShone Kizer out there for three games, put Aaron Rodgers on ice and bring him back for Monday night against San Francisco, I mean, that is possible. I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea what possibly you could see there. I really think that there is going to be a lot of talk about that knee, but the guy is a superhero. I thought it's weird. Like, I do these podcasts, and when big moments happen, you think about what's going to be the title of the podcast. And I literally think the title of the podcast today is Aaron Rodgers is a Superhero. And then I think the quick recap is going to be Aaron Rodgers is not human. And real quick, we're going to talk more about the game. I just want to give you guys a sort of heads up of how this is going to work. So this will be posted inside the Packer recap. I'm going to write it up after I finish this pod. I'm going to write it up. Basically, then you can sort of access it early if you click on the link, and that's the first taste of the podcast. Then at 8:30, 9 o'clock, you'll get the full daily tap. You'll get the whole experience. So if you're already subscribing on iTunes or SoundCloud or Google Play, great. It'll be in your feed, be ready to go first thing when you wake up. If you aren't a subscriber, you kind of are a once in a while listener. Maybe you listen to part of Murph's Fantasy. Now you have, this is like early access. We're getting you in early. So more reasons to follow us. You'll see the link out there. Make sure you're following us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll have it out there for you. All right, back to the game. So other people that deserve to talk credit were the receiving corps. I mean, Davante Adams came to play in the second half. He has the amazing shimmy shake. He has the long catch that sparked a touchdown. He had a fantastic game. Geronimo Allison, he was the guy who Aaron Rodgers 3 days ago said, Geronimo Allison's that dude. He made it clear that Geronimo Allison was a guy that's worth paying attention to, and Geronimo did the damn thing. He makes a great catch for a 41-yard touchdown, but he also had a couple other little, smaller gains that were worth noting. Geronimo played really well. Then you also had Randall Cobb, who had the game-breaking, the 75-yard touchdown. Rodgers flings it to him. Cobb gets a seam and goes, and there's something about the Randall Cobb-Aaron Rodgers connection, and that'll live in Packer Bear lore, because obviously the Randall Cobb 4th-and-9 catch, and this is it. While the 4th-and-9 catch was improbable in its own right, this was also incredible. I mean, just... this is week one. I mean, this is spoiled. Like, we shouldn't get this in week one. This should be like a week five thing. This is like getting the best appetizer of all time, and you still have like loads of good meals coming, and he had some shitty meals maybe in between. But who knows? Who knows what this means for a season? This springboards a team no matter what, and defense deserves a lot of credit. What's lost in this is the fact that defense allowed 16 points. Defense didn't really do that besides that Seattle game all of last season. The defense stood up today. They looked really good. Now, granted, they had some trouble on these second and longs. That's an issue. I think Mike Patton's going to look at that, and I think that is his biggest takeaway of what do they need to improve on. Ha-ha Clint Dix had a terrible over-pursue, and if he just sits in his corner, shoots the gap, he makes a big tackle on Jordan Howard. I do think Jordan Howard's one of the better running backs they're going to face all season. Granted, it doesn't get easier with Dalvin Cook, although from what I watched in the Vikings game today, and we'll talk about the defense versus the Vikings offense on Wednesday's show, but it doesn't look like Dalvin Cook is 100% just yet. He's a vital guy out of the backfield, but he's not necessarily the running back I think we saw last year. So that is... a little bit of that defense, though. J.R. Alexander played well. I thought you saw some nice things from Kevin King, Josh Jackson. I mean, Blake Martinez had a couple of big moments early on. I thought, as I was trying to think of, like, how the fuck am I going to do recaps? How am I going to do podcasts? I'm like, well, at least, like, Blake Martinez played well. I thought Blake played really well today. One guy who I think really was probably the one star. We're not doing star ratings anymore. We're doing, like, this excitement thing. But if the guy who's going to get that is Clay Matthews, I mean, what the fuck, man? He has a terrible roughing the passer call. It's clear as day roughing the passer. It was not one to be debated. It was not one where we would have conversations if the Bears came down and kicked a field goal. That was a bad roughing the passer. You couldn't do that there. And Clay really had a bad game. I mean, he was on the ground more times than he was not. And really have to question what's going on with Clay Matthews. And, you know, maybe Reggie Gilbert supplants him from the starting role. Or he's an inside linebacker and he has to just accept that. And whether he, I don't know. I have a lot of questions for Clay Matthews. I would say of the players I have the most questions about, it is Clay Matthews. I think there is a lot of concern there. And it's not just being a dumbass. It's the fact that he was on his ass far too often as a pass rusher. Matt Nagy, you could tell he's an Andy Reid disciple, right? Like, the clock management was terrible. I thought he got really tight late. I mean, the whole why didn't he just run the ball twice on third and one and then and take the field goal on fourth and one instead of going for it? I mean, I get that it's Aaron Rodgers and you give him a short field to just get a field goal. But even if they get the field goal, it's a tie game. It's a tie game and you go to overtime and a guy whose knee may be on a host of cocktail drugs, he has to play extra period. And it, you know, I think that's there. I mean, obviously the Kyle Fuller drop is another thing where it's like, well, if Kyle Fuller just holds on to the fucking football, the Bears win this game. And we're still talking about Aaron Rodgers' heroic performance, but we're saying they just didn't have enough. They built too much of a wall. Where Deshaun Kizer's like a forgotten memory that he gave the Bears 10 points. I mean, he gave up 7 on his own with a bad pass on a screen, and then he fumbled the ball when it should have just been a field goal, and the Packers should have at least had 3 heading into the break. I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, we didn't even talk about Deshaun Kizer. Like, that, no one really will be talking about that. But yeah, I really thought Matt Nagy shit his pants there. And now it is on to the Minnesota Vikings, a hated rival, the revenge game of all revenge games for Aaron Rodgers. Anthony Barr is going to be there. Anthony Barr is going to be hungry. But fuck Anthony Barr, always and forever. So I am so excited for week 2. I know that the knee is going to be a thing. I know we're going to talk about it obsessively. But we're going to, you know, that's why we have daily podcasts, man. It's why we went from being a weekly podcast to being a daily podcast. It's a podcast topic all the time. All right, moving on to the Milwaukee Brewers. So as the Packers had a good day, and now that's another thing. I mean, this is a totally different like conversation that the Packers lost, and it's almost like, do we open up with the Brewers? Do we just turn it out ahead like, hey, this is a reaction pod. We're just going to fucking talk about how great the Brewers are because they sweep the San Francisco Giants. They had down 2-1 facing Madison Bumgarner, guy they had beat earlier this year. And then Jonathan Scope hits a grand slam to left field. I was in the car actually kind of flipping through NFL and baseball, and you hear Uecker just go absolutely out of his mind. And he was defending Mad Bomb, which, I get. Uecker's from the old school. I think it's still kind of a Bush League move. And Madison Bumgarner, while being a guy I would want on my team, he's also kind of a fuckboy. Like, he is. He just kind of is. Like, he just seems to always do some fuckboy stuff. And that's kind of where I'm at with. But I'd have him on my team in a heartbeat. So, I don't know. Some people I don't think would, because he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. So, but yeah. I mean, the Brewers, I mean, Corey Knebel all of a sudden has become a pitcher again. That is a huge development for the Brewers. The Brewers have this version of Corey Knebel, which is really the all-star version. So whatever Derek Johnson told him to work on in Colorado Springs, he definitely did. And he's striking guys out. He closed out the game today. He was great. It's working. And now you have a loaded back-end bullpen. Now it's not just Jeremy Jeffries and Josh Hader. Who Hader was ready to come in. You get him another day of rest. He maybe could go 2 games in Chicago this week. And now you have... But now you have 3 guys. You have Hader, you have Jeffers, you have Knebel. And Soria's, a little shaky right now. He's got to get right. Corbin Burns is there. I don't know what Soria's problem is with the 2 outs, but you have Freddie Peralta and Taylor Williams now in the mix again, who are off to sort of that 10-day whatever thing. So it's looking good right now. Are you feeling good? Brewers are 20 games over 500. this was the kind of run they needed. Remember, we did a podcast, I think it was two Tuesdays ago, about the race to 93 wins and talked about how the Brewers really needed to go about 20-9 and you'd need the Cubs to kind of go 500 to overtake them. And it's happening a little bit. The Cubs obviously opened the door with getting swept by a doubleheader, and they had just a brutal series in Washington where they won, they lost 2 of 3 and they didn't play today, and they're going to have to play Thursday, and they'll play 30 straight days. Now, Cubs fans are unhappy. Brewers played 28 straight days earlier in the season. Listen, it's part of the game. Don't have rainouts. It's just bad timing. I think the MLB baseball probably did them a favor because there was no window for a game. If there was a 3-hour window for the game today, the Cubs and Nationals would have played. They would have played at 8 p.m. if they had to, but there was no window. Obviously, the baseball officials saw it, did not see a window. And yes, there is a hurricane coming to the D.C. area. By the way, everybody stay safe who's in that hurricane way. But if they realize on Tuesday that hurricane's going to directly hit in that area on Thursday, they're not going to play fucking baseball on Thursday. Like, I don't know why people are so damn stupid. They'll push it back till the 1st of October, and they'll say, okay, if this game is needed, we'll play. And guess what? I bet this game will be needed because the Brewers could overtake the Cubs for first place if they sweep. And that said, we have a unique situation with the podcast this week because we have to tape on Wednesday. Mitch is actually, his band will be playing at the Lakefront Band Extravaganza. So check that out on Thursday night. We'll obviously pump that out a couple times this week. But so if that does happen, if the Brewers do overtake the Cubs, we'll kind of do like an addendum to the podcast. I'll just kind of do either a video on the side or do like a little excerpt after the fact. I don't know yet. We haven't really, Mitch and I will talk about it in our pro or post-production. I guess I would tell you to call it the post-production. But yeah, the Brewers and everything like that are, you know, it's really good. It's a good time to be a Brewer fan. Wade Miley going for the crew on Monday. You obviously have to be a little worried. I know that Wade Miley's been awesome, but like, you still do have to expect that regression monster at some point to hit, right? Like, the advanced metrics, I don't know if they've evened out. They were real bad for a while. I'm not sure where they're at right now. Jalisash seen going again against the Cubs. And then I believe Chase Anderson after that, he follows. So, and Chase obviously has been a gas can of all gas cans when it comes to homers. He was decent against Giants, but he still kind of gave up his two runs. But he's been better on the road, so we'll see. The Brewers just, you know, you just keep it up, right? And we don't know what the Cubs rotation will look like. So it was supposed to be Quintana and Hendricks on Tuesday and Wednesday. I would assume that you'd see Quintana and Hendricks, just how well they've pitched against the Brewers this year. It'd make the most sense, right? And I don't know who you get Monday. I don't know if it's John Lester. I don't know if it's Mike Montgomery. I think Brewer fans would hope Mike Montgomery, but it could be Lester. So we will see how that goes. Obviously, we'll have a recap of that tomorrow. We'll also talk about lessons learned from week one and have an eye on the opponent, talk about the Packers offense versus the Vikings defense. I'll give you a spoiler. It's going to be a lot of the same that you saw this week. And oh yeah, pick on Trey Wayans when you can. But yes, we'll be back tomorrow. An incredible night of sports, an incredible day of sports. Happy to be along with the ride. Hope you guys were following along on SoTapWI on Twitter. We will be back tomorrow. Take care, guys. Have yourself a great Victory Monday. See ya.